Happy New Year, everybody. I pray that your 2026 is going well. And as we enter a new year, oftentimes what happens is that people will make New Year's resolutions. Maybe you are one of those folks who has made a New Year's resolution. And often when we get to this point, one of those resolutions will be, Lord, I want to do better in my spiritual walk. Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to do better with my Bible study. I want to do better with my prayer life. And you know what that is? That's a great aspiration. And if you did, let me go ahead and give you a warning. Satan is going to come after you. I mean, it's just plain and simple. There's going to be that spiritual warfare that's going to be in and around your life. So, you know, one of the things that we're looking at and we're going to look at today, we're going to begin a new series as we come into January. The new series is actually going to be titled Faith Under Fire, Standing Firm in Our Trials and in Our Temptations. Each and every one of us have those things. We go through those things all the time. And the question is, how are we going to do with them? How are we going to turn out when those trials and testings come along our way? Are we going to find ourselves, continuing, or are we going to find it like many of the other resolutions that we make a couple of weeks, maybe a month later, all of a sudden we're not doing it anymore? I hope and pray that that's not you. I hope those were some good New Year's resolutions that you made in regard to spiritual aspirations. But I just want to warn you today, there's going to be a fight, and that's okay. So in just a moment, we're going to look at the first sermon in our series, and it is called The Test of Faith. It's going to come out of the book of James, chapter 1. Grab that Bible. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your new year is off and kicking nicely and that God is blessing you in an incredible way. You know, I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at faith under fire because Satan obviously doesn't want us to be what God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to walk as one of his children. He wants to do the best that he can to use us as an embarrassment to the kingdom of our Savior. And yet the word tells us that don't be surprised when those things start to happen. They are going to happen. So life often presents us with trials and challenges that are going to test our faith. Now these experiences, though they're difficult, they're opportunities for growth and they're opportunities for a deeper reliance on God. Now today we're going to explore how perseverance through trials leads to spiritual maturity and a fulfillment of God's promises as we take our focus today from James chapter 1 and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. So would you read along with me, James? Once again, that's James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4, and it reads like this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're asking for your strength. Father, we're praying that as we head into this new year and the challenges that you have put on our hearts and minds to draw close to you, to walk closer to you, realizing that the enemy is trying to stop us, Father, I pray that we will truly seek you, that we won't get caught up in the temporary things that are around us, Lord, but yet we would focus our eyes and our vision upon the things that are eternal, the things that that are in keeping and in line with what you would have for us to do. Lord, you've given us a purpose. We're grateful for that. As we live with purpose, may we truly find the purpose you have called us to live for. So, Father, today I pray that you would use me as your messenger. Lord, I just pray that all that is said and done would glorify and magnify you. And, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as always, we want to have a little bit of context, a little bit of background when it comes down to what it is that we're talking about. Now, the book of James, it traditionally is attributed to James, the brother of Jesus, and it's a practical guide for Christian living. If I had to put a title on it, that's probably what I would say. It's kind of a practical guide for Christian living. Now, it was written to Jewish Christians that were scattered abroad, and it addresses how to live out one's faith, you know, amidst trials and tribulations. And I'm sure that if you're like me, you're sitting back going, well, hey, man, I fit that bill, because there's always something. There's always some sort of trial or tribulation that is going on in my life. Now, the early church faced persecution, and they faced various kinds of hardships. So this was making James' message of perseverance particularly relevant. I mean, how many times have you felt like, man, I just give up. I'm just going to quit. I'm done. I've tried and tried and tried. I've actually heard people say that as I've sat down with them in a pastoral counseling fashion. I've actually heard them say things like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm done with this. I've tried and tried and tried and I quit. They get frustrated. And folks, you and I are the same way. We get frustrated as well. There are times we just want to throw up our hands and walk away. I'm sure there have been those times when you've looked at somebody that you know is not a believer, not because you judge them, but because of their own self-confession. And yet, it looks like everything in their life seems to be prospering. And it kind of frustrates you if you're like I am. I'll be honest and say that it can be somewhat frustrating. So as we look at our text today, James begins by encouraging believers to count it all joy. If you'll notice that in the text, he says to count it all joy when encountering trials. Now, this perspective is not a natural perspective. When you think about that, and it says, count it all joy as we encounter trials, that's not generally what we look at. I think the big word is counterintuitive. This is counterintuitive to our thinking, and it is not a natural perspective. It requires us to have a shift in our understanding, okay? Trials are not merely obstacles, but they are also opportunities for growth. Notice that he goes on in the text and he says, the testing of your faith. Now that's likened to refining metal, all right, where there are impurities in metal. And I know you've probably heard it before, or you've seen it, or maybe you had it in one of your high school classes that talks about how gold is refined. It is heated up. It is brought to an extremely high temperature. It is liquefied to the point that what happens is the impurities that are in that metal float to the top. Well, the only way to get those impurities out of it is to heat it up. And I think you're picking up what I'm putting and what I'm putting down. So you think about it like that metal or that gold, where it is heated up so that the impurities are removed. And when the impurities are removed, strength is gained along the way. That's really easy. Sometimes we sit back, and it's even been used in church and biblical circles, that we are tried like gold through the fire. To clean out the impurities that are in us. Here, this is an opportunity. The obstacles and the things that we face along the way, they're opportunities, but it depends on the perspective in which we view them. And what happens is, when we're heated up, as it were, this process produces what the word calls patience. Now, that's a word that you and I don't like, is it? Patience. I've often said this, and sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, well, just pray that the Lord will give me patience. And I've said before, I would rather not do that. I would rather pray that the Lord would give you wisdom. And very often they'll kind of scratch their head and look at me and say, well, why is that? And I said, well, you got to be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. And I would say to them, I'd say, how is it that you become good at something? I said, if you want to be a good ball player, how do you become a good ball player? Well, you practice, okay? So if you're sitting there asking the Lord to help you to be a patient person, then what's going to happen is you're going to get some practice. Yeah, the more you practice, the better you'll become. So I've often said, look, I don't like to pray for patience, but I would prefer to pray not only for you, but for myself. I would prefer to pray that God would give me wisdom through circumstances and situations. So the process of these trials, it says, produces patience or perseverance, which is essential for our spiritual maturity. We are going to have to persevere, or you are going to get shot down very, very quickly. Okay. Now, James is emphasizing that allowing patience to complete its work leads to being perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, I also want to put a little caveat in there. That's not the same kind of perfect that we are talking about, not meaning just completely without fault, because obviously, you know, we are all sinners that fall short of the glory of God. But it is about perfecting our walk. It is about lacking in nothing. And this is indicating a state of spiritual wholeness as well as spiritual maturity. And that is really what this is all about. Okay, so now that we kind of have a grip on the passage that we're talking about, we need to understand, you know, the theological significance of what this is telling us. Now, theologically, the passage underscores the transformative power of trials in our lives. Now, most of us know that. Most of the time we know it from the opposite side, because what happens is we say when these trials or these temptations come our way, they transform us, but they don't usually transform us in the best of ways. We have allowed circumstances and situations to get to us when we shouldn't do that. You know, we have allowed them to be in control of our lives rather than God being in control of our lives. So, you know, when we think about that, this passage, it is underscoring that there is a transformative power of trials in our lives, and it can be in a positive way, all right? It challenges the notion that faith guarantees a life that is free from hardship. I even laugh, you know, when I say that, because there are people who will sit back and say, well, it was my understanding that if I just trusted in Christ, that everything in my life was going to be good from there on out. And I said, you know, a lot of that depends on the lens and the perspective through which you view it. Now, when you sit back and say, I thought everything in my life was going to be good, it can when we focus on the Savior rather than all of the peripheral things that are going on in our lives and on this earth. But yeah, most people take that wrong. They sit back and think, well, I trusted Jesus. I'm never going to have any more problems or hardships in my life. Everything is going to be right. Every day is going to be a good day. No, that is not what this passage is telling us. You know, this passage challenges the notion that faith is going to guarantee a life that is free from hardship. How does it challenge that? Because it says, hey, when you are having these trials, when you are having these temptations, here is what you can do. Here is what is taking place. So instead of it presenting this hardship-free life, it presents trials as a divine tool for your growth and for my growth, something to bring us closer to God. Now, God's purpose in allowing these trials is not to harm us. And I want us to be very, very careful as we ponder this, because so many times people will sit back and they'll say, well, God is doing this to me, God may be allowing those things to happen to you. And certainly he's allowing them. If you're one of his children and you know him, he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what is taking place. Along the way, we have to understand God has a purpose for all of the things, all of the trials, all the temptations, all of the testings that happen in our lives. There is a purpose for that. God has a purpose for that. So God's purpose in allowing trials isn't to do us any harm, but it's rather to develop a deeper and a more resilient faith as we walk with him. I call those things faith stretchers, things that we don't often understand, but yet God is wanting to do some incredible things in our lives, and we don't like it when we go through these trials and these temptations or these sufferings along the way. And we sit back oftentimes and say, what good is this? What's good is going to come out of this? How can this be good for me? How can this bring glory to God? I can't always answer that question. Sometimes hindsight will show you down the road and you'll say, oh, now I understand what this was all about. Then there are other times you may not know on this side of glory what God's purpose in that was for your life. But that's okay. That's what you and I need to be okay with, that God is in control and we are not. Okay. Now, this aligns with the broader biblical narrative where suffering often precedes glory and fulfillment of God's promises. So all these things are packed in just a few of these verses, all right? So when we think about those things and when we read this, it's not whether or not there are going to be trials and temptations in your life. It's what are you going to do with them when they show up? What are you going to do with them when they arrive in your life, okay? In our daily lives, we encounter various trials. They could be health issues. They could be financial struggles. It could be relational conflicts. It could be family matters. There are so many things that fall under that guise. And you and I deal with them pretty much on a daily basis. So James encourages us to view these not as burdens, but as opportunities to grow closer to God. I've likened it to what's been said many times in our recent day. I'm not talking about taking it back to the Bible days, but it's a biblical concept where people sit back and they've said, look, I don't have problems, I have opportunities. Have you looked at your circumstances and situations in that way? Have you looked at them as opportunities to grow closer to God, or have you thrown a little hissy fit? Have you gotten mad? Have you thrown a little temper tantrum with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And although that may sound funny, we do find ourselves in those situations at times. And we get a little upset with God because of where we are as the opportunities arise in our lives. We need to be able to embrace them. Now, that doesn't say that you have to, enjoy a trial, a temptation, or a suffering that is coming in your life. It's just that you don't let it control you. You don't let it dictate who you are through Christ. That is hugely important. I have known so many people who could not function in that realm. And man, they trusted the Lord. They were on fire for Him. And then a couple of weeks later, just walked completely away because the trials and the temptations came in their life. And they did not persevere. They were not able to stand through it. Now, practically speaking, what we're talking about means embracing a mindset of joy and trust during our difficulties. When you're going through those tough times, do you have a mindset of joy? Are you embracing that mindset? I'm not asking you to necessarily embrace the hardship or the difficulty, but I am asking you to choose to embrace joy in the midst of and through the difficulties that come our way in life. You see, we can cultivate perseverance by leaning on God's strength. Did you notice what I said? I said we can cultivate perseverance. That's that long side, that's sticking in there, that's hanging in there. So that is something that can be cultivated by leaning on God's strength. And by engaging in prayer and then also seeking support from fellow believers. And this is something that we don't do as much today as we should. And I asked somebody one time, I said, well, why is it that we don't seem to seek help from our Christian brothers and sisters when we're going through these difficult times? And sadly enough, often I will hear somebody say, well, the problem with it is, usually what happens is that I wind up being the fodder for gossip. I wind up being the one everybody is talking about rather than somebody coming alongside me and helping me in a biblical way through the circumstance and situation. And then they'll usually express the old statement, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So often we are silent sufferers as believers, and it ought not be that way, folks. You ought to be in a spiritual culture where it is abnormal for somebody to make you a target of gossip, where the spirit thrives, where somebody can come alongside you and truly pray for you and truly give you spiritual advice through your circumstance and through your situation. I promise you they're there. And yes, unfortunately, I have to say, often we have to be selective about who we allow into those areas and into those places in our lives. But notice the main point of what I'm talking about here is we can cultivate perseverance by leaning on God's strength. That's one way. By engaging in prayer. Man, prayer is not just part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. And I use the term ministry because that's my life. It's the same thing with you. You got to trust God. You have to engage Him in prayer. And you need to seek that support from your fellow believers, as we just mentioned. Now, as we persevere, as we're hanging in there, we experience growth in our character and in our faith. And that means that we are becoming more like Christ. And that is what the term Christian in and of itself means. Christian means Christ-like. So as we go through these things, and notice what I said, as we persevere, as we don't give up, as we keep on fighting, even when it doesn't feel like we're winning, even when it seems like we're losing horribly, you hang in there and persevere. And in doing so, you are going to grow not only in your character, but you are also going to grow in your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means that you will become more like Him. Are we going to be able to do that as we head into 2026? I hope and pray that this is going to help you maintain some of those spiritual New Year's resolutions that you have made. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it outright. If you made one of those resolutions, you were serious about it, you want to grow your relationship with the Lord, Satan's coming after you. I mean, just take that to the bank. He is going to come after you. He is going to throw trials in your way. He is going to put stumbling blocks out there before you. The question is, are you going to persevere? Now, some of you, by the end of this month, you're going to be frustrated because you're going to say, you know what, I made this resolution, I meant it, and I failed. Let me rephrase it. You didn't persevere. You didn't stick with it. Listen, if that's you, first of all, don't be in that position. Second of all, if the end of the month you find yourself there, repent, go back, start all over again. You know, get some people in your life, get some accountability in your life that can help you to maintain good resolutions that you have made. And I'm talking about spiritual ones. I'm not talking about man-made laws, but I'm talking about what the Lord has commanded us to do in drawing close to Him. So, can you do that? Listen, I want you to be encouraged in your walk, but I also want you to know the truth. You know, as you set those standards, Satan's going to come after you. I always like to say it in this fashion. He's going to come after you three ways: hard, fast, and continuously. Are you going to persevere? Listen, don't quit on me. We'll walk the journey together. You see, trials are an inevitable part of everybody's life. Your life, my life, trials are part of it. But they're also a divine invitation to grow our faith in our Savior. Now, by embracing those trials with joy and with perseverance, we allow God to refine us, like we mentioned a moment ago, to heat us up so that the impurities will float to the top and can be removed. And in doing so, that leads us to spiritual maturity and fulfillment in His promises. So let us count it all joy, knowing that through trials, we are being perfected in Christ. Have you thought about that? So when you look at it and you say, what is the reason for this? One of the reasons, at least one of the reasons, is that through the midst of your trial, when you come through it in a biblical and a successful way, you are drawing close to Christ, that you are being what He wants you to be. You are being, as the Word calls, perfected in Christ. So folks, let me tell you, I hate to say it this way, but trouble's coming. Trials are coming. How are you going to be able to handle those trials and those tribulations? I hope and pray that you will hold on to this verse. That's why I wanted to start off the New Year series with this particular one, so that you can go back to it, put a little marker in it, write it down, go back to it, and realize when you need some encouragement, you can get some encouragement from today's text, not only today, but throughout the whole year. I hope and trust and pray that that you are going to be wildly successful as you seek the Lord in our new year of 2026. All right, I'm going to close us in prayer here in just a moment, but I wanted to go ahead and give you what your reading for this week is going to be. This week, I want us to spend some time in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. So just throughout this week, read and study 1 Peter chapter 4. And next week, as we continue our series of Faith Under Fire, we're actually going to look at courage in the face of persecution. I know all of us at some point have faced this along the way. Some of us, when we have faced that persecution, we have failed miserably. And others, at other times, we have succeeded in a way that was pleasing to the Father. So next week, we're going to look at courage in the face of persecution out of 1 Peter chapter 4, specifically verses 12 through 14 in our series titled Faith Under Fire. I hope and trust and pray that you will be prepared, that you will meet us here as next week as we delve into Peter's encouragement to the early Christians that were facing persecution. And then we're going to examine how enduring suffering for the sake of Christ can be a source of not only blessing, but strength for the journey. By the way, you've heard that, haven't you? And that's kind of my moniker for the daily devotion, strength for the journey. And as we go into God's Word, that's exactly what we're looking for, strength for our everyday journey. All right, would you look with me to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close out our time of the Wednesday Bible study together today? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for the trials that draw us closer to you. Father, I pray that you will help us to embrace them with joy and perseverance, trusting in your perfect work in our lives. Lord, we ask that you strengthen our faith and that you make us more like Christ. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to personally invite you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Any information that you need, you can go to our website. It's listed on the screen here as www.oakridgecbc.org. Our service times, we start at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We have opportunities of discipleship through Sunday school, through small groups for men and women. And we also have our Awana for the smaller children. And we would certainly love to have you come and worship with us as we journey through this life on our way to eternity. God bless you. Have a great week. Happy New Year. ¶¶